I think that you'll gain much if you'll listen this morning. I'm certainly not the greatest preacher in the world, but I preach a lot of great truth, and it's because it comes from the Word of God. And so if you'll tune in, I promise you that this is not just some pleasant thoughts or some filler for another Sunday morning, but these are things that if you'll adopt can be life-changing. I want to preach on this subject, a biblical view of tomorrow. A biblical view of tomorrow. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll read Proverbs chapter number 27 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter number 27 and verse number 1. We'll read just this one verse. Let me read it first and then I'm going to ask you to read it together with me. Let me read it first, okay? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now let's read this together. Ready? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are fully and completely in charge. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to lean back in the knowledge of that, to place our faith in someone with whom tomorrow is not a mystery. And Lord, we love you and we're excited about all that's happened in the service this morning. It's been good just to focus for a while on Jesus during the communion, then sing, and then the warm handshakes of brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, it's just good to see people that are happy to be at church. And then Lord, also then the opportunity to give, and now Lord, to hear the preaching. Our hearts have already been blessed. Now, Lord, as I do my best this morning to present what you've laid on my heart, as I do my best to teach the people, Lord, what you have to say about this word tomorrow, I pray, Lord, that we'll look from now on, from this day forward, at tomorrow from a biblical viewpoint. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. I was recently in a shop, and on the wall of that shop was this statement: live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. That would not be so unique, but the couple of verses that were underneath this statement, live one day at a time, let me read them to you. It's an old, oft-used, and tired cliche, but it still is wise to live today. And that was underneath, live one day at a time. Benjamin Franklin said this, one today is worth two tomorrows. One today is worth two tomorrows. Now, all you young people, listen to me, and let me teach you a little bit about time and about life. You have today. Every day that you receive is a gift from Almighty God. There's those that have received this day to live, March 4th, 2007, and there's those that did not. You are one of those that did. Now you've got to make a choice about what you do with each and every day. You say, well, those choices are made for me. Well, to a certain extent, that's true. Sometimes it is somewhat beyond our control, but I don't think it is as much as we'd like to let on. Now, you can look at today and you can say, I'm going to spend this day regretting yesterday. And I'm afraid that when you get to tomorrow, you're going to spend that day regretting how you wasted today. I think if you want to, you can take today and you could say, I'm going to fret over the future. But I think that by the time you get to the future, you'll look back at the yesterday that is now today and wish that you hadn't spent time worrying, because we worry about a lot of things that we shouldn't worry about. Now, I want you to give you this morning, and we're going to use our Bibles a little bit this morning. I'm going to have you flip the pages some, so stay up with me. But I was excited as I began to study this throughout the Bible, and I want you to have a biblical view of tomorrow, a biblical view of tomorrow. I think Satan wants to take that word tomorrow and the concept of tomorrow and cause God's people a lot of grief and a lot of disobedience and a lot of wasted today's over worrying about tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1 says this: boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let me give you a biblical view of tomorrow. Number 1, tomorrow, if you're not careful, tomorrow can be dangerous because you can commit the danger of presumption or the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption. Now, what does that mean? The Bible instructs us that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, what does it mean to be presumptuous? I believe this. I think you should plan for tomorrow, but I do not think you should presume upon tomorrow. I think you should plan for tomorrow, but I do not think you should presume upon tomorrow. Now, what does that mean? God says, it bothers me when I hear people boasting about what they're going to do the next day, what they're going to do the next week, what they're going to do 2 weeks from now or a month from now, what they're going to do next year. He said this, there's a danger to that. And you ought not to boast about what you're going to do tomorrow, because you do not know what might transpire between now and then. How many of you are thinking back right now at instances in your life where you thought you knew what the next day was going to bring forth, and guess what? Nothing that you could have imagined was close as to what actually happened on that morrow. I tell this story sometimes, but when I was a young man between my junior and senior year, I had planned out my summer, and I decided where I was going to work, and I had gotten a job, and I had my plans. I'd already figured up on paper how much money I was going to make and the things I was going to do, and I pretty much had my summer planned out. But during the very first week that I went to work during the summer between my junior and senior year, all of a sudden, all of the tomorrows of that whole summer changed in just a few split seconds. I'd had a job working down for a man that ran a carpet business. And I would go out with him and help him lay carpet, lay flooring. And in between jobs, I would also keep up with the yard and do a few things around the place there. And I was mowing the grass there for Jim Smith, and was in a hurry to get it done, and gotten a little bit too big of a hurry, and was pulling that lawnmower backwards and tripped and stumbled and pulled that lawnmower over my right foot. And in just a few seconds, everything that I thought I was going to accomplish, all of the money that I thought I was going to make, all of the events I was going to attend, by the way, I'd already locked in and secured that summer to attend a 1 week like mini academy that introduced young people to the law enforcement field and a career. And I was thinking of pursuing that. And you know what? You can lay all the plans you want to lay out, and God's saying you better be careful. And by the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with planning, but I think there is something wrong with presuming. And I think sometimes it goes beyond planning where we say, Lord, if it's your will, I'm going to do this too. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to accomplish this, and I'm going to make this money, and I'm going to be here. Well, you don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what, within a few seconds, I'd thrown a lawnmower and looked down, and there was my foot and somewhat mangled, and I was limping towards the office and being put in a van and taken to the hospital and taken in for emergency surgery. And I went, listen, on that one day, I entered that one day, that first day with 10 toes, and I saw tomorrow with only 9 toes. Amen. If you'd have told me that, I'd have said you were out of your mind. If you'd have told me the morning that I'd cut my big toe off, you know, today you have 10 toes, but tomorrow you're only going to have 9, I thought you had lost your mind. But it has made me somewhat famous in America. I have never, 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 ever, to this day, ever met another preacher that only had 9 toes. And so, you know what, everyone wants their claim to fame, so that's it. If I ever go into evangelism, I'm going to travel the country as the 9-toed preacher and just try to use that thing and milk it for everything I can get out. I did meet, this is true. I was telling this story one time, and I didn't actually meet the guy, but I met a preacher who had had an evangelist in that had an extra toe on one of his feet. And so there is an 11-toe evangelist already out there. Then I got to thinking, you know, maybe I ought to get with this guy, you know, and maybe we could work something out here, you know. But anyway, I wouldn't have guessed in a million years. I wouldn't have guessed in a million years when I got up that morning that that entire summer and all of its plans would be so drastically rearranged. Now, let me give you a biblical view of tomorrow. Go to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Most of you that have lived very long and have been under the Bible teaching and preaching know exactly where we're going and exactly what we're going to read and what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. The danger of presumption. We want to have a biblical view of the word tomorrow. The danger of presumption. And we're in James, and that's chapter number 4. And if you will, look at verse number 13. James 4:13. Go to now. Boy, that's a good idea. Go to now. You say that's stated a little strangely. Can you figure out what that means? Maybe God's just saying there, you ought to maybe just live where you're at. You ought to maybe just cash in on the opportunity at hand. One today's worth two tomorrows, Ben Franklin said. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Boy, that's just a great way to live your life. Now, Brother Jerry, do I always have to say those words? Let me just say this. If I was you, I'd get in the habit of just saying the words. Because, you know, the saying of the words reminds you of the principle. Someone says, hey, are you going to come over later today? Lord willing, I'll be there. Hey, would you come make this visit? Lord willing, I'll be there. Hey, are you going to go to work tomorrow? Well, Lord willing, I am. Hey, Brother Jerry, are we going to have friends and family Sunday? Lord willing, we'll have it. Are you listening to me? Because I think that when we say the words and we make that a part of our vocabulary, it's a constant reminder to us, and also it's a constant display before God that we understand that all things are ultimately in His hand. And so to have a biblical view of tomorrow, we need to lose the idea of presumption. And we need to focus in on the fact that God has given me now, and by His grace I'm going to cash in on now, but anything beyond now is in His hands, and we will only do what we think we might do by His will. The danger of presumption. Now let's cover point number 2. There's also the danger of perpetual worry. The danger of perpetual worry. If you will, go to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And again, we're going to look at a very familiar portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25. Can I read down just for a few minutes? Let's read the Bible together. You follow and I'll read aloud. Matthew chapter 6 verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You say, Brother Jerry, you mentioned earlier that you think that we should plan for tomorrow, but we should not presume upon tomorrow. Yes, I believe that. And let me also add this. We should plan for tomorrow, but we should not worry about tomorrow. When that verse is saying, take therefore no thought, the context is explaining to us that that thought is a worrisome thought, a hand-wringing thought, an ulcer-building thought, a pacing at night thought. And if we're not careful, we can skew our view of tomorrow by being a perpetual worrier. A perpetual worrier. I read this week and I had to chuckle at it. Let me just read it to you. I have never seen a gravestone that reads, "He died of worry." But some of them ought to read that way. How many illnesses are directly connected with our worries, our anxieties, trying to take responsibility that was designed for God to handle? If you can't handle it, why are you trying to handle it? If you can't change it, why are you worrying about it? But we do, don't we? In fact, I have a friend, this man wrote, who worries when she doesn't have something to worry about. She has to have anxiety. She needs the security of anxiety. I think she keeps a mental list of those reserved areas. Then when she runs out of the conscious ones, she draws on the unconscious ones. And she just brings them on just like ammunition in a machine gun just to fire them into her life. You heard the preacher that told one of the ladies in his church, stop worrying. 98% of everything you worry about never happens. And the lady said, see, it works. See, it works. You know, let me just read this quote from Cora Ten Boom, and I think that those of you that know her understood she went through some things in her life. But she said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength. Boy, isn't that good? Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength. I read this. I thought this was good. One man wrote this. Worry and fear are sort of Siamese twins. Anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into all other, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. How many of you have been there before? Now, come on, we can be honest with each other. It's amazing how you can get a little trickle of anxiety and you encourage that and you feed that, and pretty soon all other thoughts are drained into that channel and you can't even decide what you need to write down on the list of what you need at the grocery store because you can't focus. You know why? Because we are worrying about something that's God's business. It's not our business, you see. For those of you that are health nuts and they have now come out with what's called the stress diet. And you know what? I think this will work. If you're under a lot of stress, Brother Jerry, give me something practical. I understand. All right, I'm going to give you the stress diet. Here's the stress diet, okay? For breakfast, you eat a half of grapefruit, one piece of whole wheat toast, and 8 ounces of skim milk. Now, this is the stress diet, okay? So breakfast, half a grapefruit, one piece of whole wheat toast, 8 ounces of skim milk. For lunch, 4 ounce lean broiled chicken breast, 1 cup of steamed zucchini, 1 Oreo cookie, and herb tea. All right, that's lunch. 4 ounces of lean broiled, I'm repeating this because you're writing it down, right? 1 ounce of lean broiled chicken breast, 1 cup of steamed zucchini, 1 Oreo cookie, herb tea. Mid-afternoon snack, rest of the package of Oreo cookies. 1 quart of Rocky Road ice cream, 1 jar of hot fudge. Then for dinner, 2 loaves of garlic bread, a large mushroom and pepperoni pizza, a large pitcher of root beer, 3 Milky Ways, and an entire frozen cheesecake eaten directly from the freezer. And that will pretty much, all of those things together will take care of your worry. Do you love this song as much as I do? I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine or its skies may turn to rain. I don't worry or the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. That's me. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And so, folks, we're all guilty of it, and we all fall into it. But you know what? During those times where we just get overcome by anxiety and worry about tomorrow, why don't we just slip our hand into the hand of the one who knows what's going on tomorrow? Amen? Now, let me give you one more thing that I think will help you to develop a biblical view of tomorrow, because with tomorrow comes some dangers. The danger of presumption, the danger of perpetual worry, and the danger of procrastination. The danger of procrastination. Let me have you look at some verses. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 27. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 27. I think that this probably is a byproduct of the danger of presumption. You see, when you begin to presume that you're going to have tomorrow, if you're not careful, you begin to procrastinate as if that is a day in the bank that you can count on. The danger of procrastination. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and when? Tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. And I think that if we're not careful, what we do is we always have it in our mind that that good deed that we ought to do, that person that we've been meaning to get around to help, we're always going to have tomorrow to get that job done. And the honest truth is, folks, there'll be one of these days where everybody in this room does not have a tomorrow to get that done. So don't put off helping someone in need. I don't know exactly why. I'll just tell you this. Why? I think God wanted me to hit this morning. But maybe there's somebody, and I'm not talking about some big, gigantic, life-changing task. I'm talking about something that the Lord for some time has been laying on your heart to do that you know you ought to do and you've intended to do to be a help and a blessing to someone who needs that help. And you know what? You're always going to do it, but you're always gonna do it tomorrow. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you do it today? Why don't you do it today? You see, folks, we should plan for tomorrow, but we should not presume upon tomorrow. We should plan for tomorrow, we should not worry about tomorrow. And also, we should plan for tomorrow, but we should not use tomorrow as an excuse for not doing what we should today. I love this thing. I read this poem this week, and I'm going to read it to you. And I promise you, it's more spiritual than the diet, the anxiety diet that I think about this. I hope this God will use this to stir your heart. Listen to this poem. Around the corner, I have a friend. In this great city that has no end, yet days go by and weeks rush on, and before I know it, a year is gone. And I never see my old friend's face, for life is a swift and terrible race. He knows I like him just as well as in the days when I rang his bell and he rang mine. We were much younger then, but now we are busy, tired men, tired with playing a foolish game, tired with trying to make a name. Tomorrow, I say, I will call on Jim just to show him that I'm thinking of him. But tomorrow comes and tomorrow goes, and the distance between us grows and grows. Round the corner, yet miles away. Here's a telegraph, sir. Jim died today. And that's what we get and deserve in the end. Around the corner, a vanished friend. Amen. Maybe somewhere in this auditorium, the Lord's tapping on somebody's heart and said, you know what? Stop saying you're going to call them tomorrow. Call them today. Stop saying you're going to write that note tomorrow. Write it today. Stop saying I'm going to go by and see them tomorrow. Go by and see them today. you want to read one of the most sorrowful portions of Scripture in all the Bible, and I'll read it to you. These words were spoken by King David. And the king was much moved and went up to his chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. You know, for years, Absalom and David had an aunt. And I'll bet you anything, in David's mind, he was always going to fix that tomorrow. And I wonder how long in Absalom's heart it was. You know what? One of these days, we'll fix that. One of these days, we'll settle that. One of these days, I'll go say that sorry that I'm supposed to say, or that I forgive you that's long overdue. But you know what? There came a day when David, all he could say was, would God I had. Would God I had. You see, let me say in closing, this procrastination goes a lot of different directions. But could I read one more verse to you, and I'll turn to it and save us just a few moments here. Let me read this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Brother Jonathan Reiser was telling me that he went by this week on one of the afternoons when he went out visiting, and he, through a series of contacts, got hooked up to a man who needed to be visited who was unsaved. Watch this. He said, Brother Jerry, it was just heart-wrenching. He said, I talked to the man, and he told me I'm lost. He said, I went through the scriptures, and he said, I understand that that's true. He said, won't you be saved today? And he said, no, not today, but someday. Then he looked at me, Brother Jonathan looked at me with anguish. He said, Brother Jerry, the man is 80 years old. And he looks at me and says, no, but someday. Now some of you young people may be sitting here saying, listen, if I was 80 years old and I wasn't saved, I'd get saved. Let me share this with you. If you're 8 years old and you're not saved, you ought to get saved. If you're 18 years old and you're not saved, you ought to get saved. If you're 28 years old and you're not saved, you ought to get saved. If you're 38 years old and you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there's not a one of us. There's not a one of us that know if we'll have a tomorrow. And that's why the Bible says, today is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time. So if you want to have a biblical view of tomorrow, and you want to be wise, you'll say what old Ben Franklin said. You know what? One today's worth two tomorrows, and I think I'll just get saved today. Today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless what we've heard, stir our hearts. Thank you for the scriptural instruction that reminds us that this old life is but a vapor, and appeareth for such a very short time and vanisheth away. And Lord, if we're going to do, we best get busy doing it. If we're going to witness, we probably ought to just go ahead and get at it. If we're going to make a phone call, we might as well just pick up the phone. If we're going to write that letter, maybe we ought to just take the piece of paper out today. If we're going to get saved, maybe we ought to just get saved today. Lord, I don't know what all of the purposes for this is, but I dare say that from your eternal standpoint, there's probably not a person here that you're not urging in some area to go ahead and take action. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. And if it be your will, thank you for tomorrow. Help us to live each and every day in such a way that would be pleasing to you. We praise these things in Jesus' name. Amen.